Guys, we are here for the Outlander After Show. More Brianna. More Roger. More everybody. Yes, good times ahead. And we finally get a little bit of sex. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
And we're back. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV, Season 4, Episode 11, If Not For Hope. Yes, it was a good episode. It was a good episode. I'm Adrienne Snow, and here are my fellow co-hosts.
Hey guys, I'm Angel Taylor.
Hey everyone, I am Rachel Goodman.
Yeah, so first thoughts.
Well, as someone who doesn't read the books, it was a very unexpected friendship between Bree and
John Grey.
Yeah, John Grey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I really loved that. I loved the scenes that we actually got with Jamie and Claire because we hadn't really seen them having an intimate moment in a while, and just the conversation they were able to have. And then the only thing I will say, and we were talking about this beforehand, is that I didn't like how they didn't explain the situation with Roger.
Right.
How he just went back to the Mohawks. Oh, okay. Like we don't know if he walked back to them or if he was recaptured or what it was. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see that.
Yeah, it was a good psych moment at the beginning when you saw the modern shower head and then all of a sudden you see him at the river and he's recaptured. Or I mean, like she said, you don't really know how he got there. That wasn't really explained, so... Okay. I don't know. It wasn't one of my favorite episodes for sure.
Yeah.
And it lacked a little content for me. I was like, okay, Bree's getting a lot of shine in all of these episodes. And we get, you know, the impregnation and missing Roger and stuff. But I feel like we need to have some more things stirring up now.
Yeah. Well, we've got two episodes. So it's kind of like that kind of lull episode. And then you get to the next episode and there'll be a lot of action. And
right.
Overall, I liked the episode. I just assumed that Roger went back to the Mohawk for safety.
Well, which makes sense.
For safety.
For safety in terms of it's better for him to either be with them versus or go through the stone than be alone.
Because we can guess that he's not even like I feel like maybe I feel like Claire, who's had experience of being in this time period. Mm-hmm. Would be able to adapt a little bit better than Roger.
Yeah.
Whereas Roger, who's just coming to this world for the first time, there's certain things, like getting food and
he can't
shelter.
Hunt. Yeah. You know, he has no weapons. If he had been like a wolf attack or a bear attack, he would have been dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, his best option was to be with people who had weapons, who were equipped, who could in some way, you know, as little as it is, in some way help him.
So you think that him going back to the Mohawk was safer than him crossing back over? Into real time?
I think in his mind, if he crossed over, there was a chance he would never be able to get back. Mm-hmm. So in his mind, the safest option in order to be with Bree was to go back to the Mohawk. Yeah.
Okay, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention, I don't know
definitely not the safety, because the way the show ended, it was like, safe what?
Yeah, well.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Beaten versus dead, you know. It's like that kind of safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beaten to dead.
Not to mention, we don't know where he is. They were headed to upstate New York, is what we had heard. If he happens to be in Pennsylvania, they used to have mountain lions there. So
yeah, I mean, we have a mountain lion just down the street, Griffith Park. So yeah, but it's just overall, I really like the episode. But with that said, like, well, let's just go right into Roger. There's not much to say about him, so we can start with him first. But I mean, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with him, the Mohawk, because it was alluded that, you know, they kind of take people to replace their own, and so. It would be kind of cool to see him get
turned
a little
into
bit
a
tougher, a little bit more warrior.
Yeah.
And right. I thought that ending scene of him being, like, beaten and having to move around to avoid being hit was them kind of testing his strength to see, like, well, what can you handle? Because that's how you'll be, you know, utilized.
And that's kind of what I think is that we also see in his face, in Roger's face, that he falls down, but he gets back up and he's not going to take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, he knows he's their captive, but he's going to just keep trying and he's going to toughen up. And we can already see that he's a much more jaded Roger than who we knew before he ventured into this world.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's going to come out of this with a much thicker skin than he had before.
Yeah, he was being jumped into the Mohawk gang, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Like, well, okay.
Yeah.
This we'll is what, I guess, is necessary to become one with the Mohawks.
And that's another interesting point, too, because I feel like by the time he gets back to Brianna, she's gone through trauma and she's it, which has made allowed her to grow and change in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And he's gone through trauma in a different way. And so I feel like they're going to be very different people when they get back to each other. Mm-hmm. And I'll be very interested. It'll be interesting to see how they connect and how they how if they're able to have the same kind of relationship, or maybe it'll be even stronger because of what they've been through.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be so weird. Like, by the time they do reunite, if they reunite, just the dynamic of her being married to John. And then, like, him, like, does she divorce John right away? Do they have to, like, put on this facade? Like, I don't know. Like, how do they reintroduce Roger into being her husband?
Well, we'll see. It could be a very long engagement.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and maybe, like, because what I was thinking with that is that she, obviously, he's, John Gray is just doing it for her sake, so she doesn't marry some other guy who would actually expect her to be the typical wife of that time period.
Yeah.
And that he would probably, like you said, probably make it a very long engagement.
Mm.
And I feel like it gives them enough time to play with the fact that Roger could come back before their marriage and marry her really quickly so that the baby is born into a you know.
Yeah. Into a legal marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that'll be interesting to see where Roger lands with that. And I'm curious to see if they can pull it off in the next two episodes. But, you know, we'll see. But with that, we continue on to Murtaugh and Fergus. And it's nice to see Fergus with his wife, whose name I'm blanking on all of a sudden.
Marcelly.
I'm like, is it him? It's nice to see them because we don't see them very often.
Yeah.
And so to have a little bit of a slice of life in that Fergus having one hand has been like kind of a detriment in terms of work for him. It was nice to see Murtaugh doing his thing and Marcelly kind of coming into her own and being like, I will bang crap until you wake up. Yeah. Just what were your thoughts on just their whole storyline with bonnet hunting and all that kind of stuff?
So I want to say this too. I love
bonnet
how
bonnet hunting. I love it.
So first of all, I love how Marcelly wanted Murtaugh to actually ask Fergus to be a part of this and to be a part of the militia and to actually be a part of the revolution.
Right.
I love how it allowed Fergus to be in a position where he really gave the honest answer, which is that he didn't want to be part of it. He was a husband first and needed to be there with his wife and child.
Yeah.
I loved that. I also loved seeing Bonnet get his head hit with a musket. I was like, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So that for me was very, made me very happy.
Refreshing for you.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So what do you think she meant by, like, the question of his wholeness? Like,
Fergus.
Fergus's wholeness. Mm-hmm. She's like, I either want a whole man or none at all. Like, well, what do you think she meant by that?
That he seemed kind of like empty without that. I think he seemed kind of depressed and incomplete without, you know, being able to work or being able to fight because he only had one hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's what she meant. Like, well, I want him to feel complete in some type of way, and he doesn't seem to be that way.
Yeah.
So you think that she thought that he would have felt complete if he fought for something?
Yeah, if he fought or if he could get a job, if he could have people, like, look past the fact that he had one hand or look past his disability, then that would make him feel more complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice to have, I think it was nice to have Fergus come back and be like, no, this is where I want to be. And it doesn't really, like, yeah, sure, it sucks, but it doesn't really matter. Like, my place is with my family. And for her to hear that as well, it was nice to see her response.
Yeah, I really loved her response to that.
Because there's a difference when, you know, if Marcelly had said, I don't want you to do this, I think she was worried that that would be hindering what Fergus really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so this way, by giving Fergus the choice, she saw what was really in his heart without having to ask him to do anything at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also just very supportive of her to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, like it wasn't a test or anything. It was really, I want him to be happy.
Yeah, I didn't realize it. I thought it was a test at first. And then when I saw her reaction, I was like, okay, it was very validating mm-hmm. for her to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how easy it was for them to take down Bonnet. Just because he's been so
but it's nefarious Marta, throughout. Like,
the only thing is that I could believe it only because they caught him, you know, when he wasn't expecting it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I would think he would have had more of a fight. But he's been caught before, yeah. as we saw in the beginning. So obviously he has his moments when he's off guard.
Especially down. When yeah. he's about to get some, you know, where the blood goes. It goes from the head to the other head.
Well, if you're as violent as a person as he is, I'm sure you can multitask your vileness. Yeah, Point Break, I'm talking about you. But yeah, just... It was everything was very swift this episode, so it was kind of like, and we got him. Like, it's clear that they're at the end of the season, they're kind of like trying to wrap yeah. up loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quick in how they caught him. And then it was kind of disappointing to see
how they lost him.
I'm happy that Fergus was able to get away, but I was like, oh, that's how Murtaugh gets taken in.
Well, mm-hmm. and the thing that I was wondering about that scene too was they made it a point to say, yeah, you want that guy, that mm-hmm. that Bonnet character.
Right. So I'm curious. And they dismissed it, right?
Well, I think I'm assuming they arrested both of them.
Yeah, they took both. Because yeah. in the preview, previews. We see that he's in prison. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch
But
that.
Still, we know that Bonnet. I mean, they wanted to kill him to make sure that he wouldn't ever hurt anyone again. We know that Bonnet has a way of escaping even the legal system.
But didn't Jamie ask, like, bring him to me?
Yeah. Because he wanted to kill him.
But
himself.
Once he realized that they were going to get caught, Murtaugh was like, well, let me just sacrifice him to
right, yeah.
this. And
because he didn't want Fergus to be yeah. arrested. So he was like, just pretend like I'm doing this alone.
And I guess I think Murtaugh thought maybe he could... you know, hand off Bonnet and that would be enough.
But, yeah, but obviously.
No. Yeah. He's a pretty big deal. Yeah. He's like the leader of a rebellion. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Yeah. That part.
As well.
Capturing the revolutionary seems yeah. to be the number one goal.
Oh, poor buddy. He'll be okay. Yeah. He'll be okay, right, Murtaugh? It's been like 2 years since we've seen you. It would suck for you to die in the last
yeah.
two
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyways.
So sad.
But then we get to... Well, before we go into Claire, Jamie, and Ian, like, do you have something you would like to talk
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I would like to talk to our viewers. Hey, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. We're talking dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, so much more, and there's no other network that works as hard as we do. But we need your help. We're asking you to please subscribe below to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't, because they're totally optional. And hit that subscribe button. Come on, guys. So this channel and all of our other AfterBuzz channels can give you even more great content. Let us know you did so in the comments so we can thank you right here on air. And for now, thank you so much for being the best TV fans ever and for allowing us to be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, thank you so much. Also, please rate, subscribe, all that jazz, iTunes, blah, blah, blah. We love you guys.
Speaking of talk, we actually have a bunch of comments in the chat. So
yeah.
Let's go through these. So Carmen Cortez says, in the books, and this is not a spoiler, I read it ahead of time, Fergus is referred to as less than because he only has one hand mm-hmm. and can't do farm work. This is a point in the story, in his story, where he's questioning himself and he's questioned by other people. Kimberly Williams says, it's a perfect idea for Bree to marry Lord John, or at least be engaged, but she looks pretty pregnant now. Yeah, I agree with that.
That part.
The story needs
like,
to move fast.
How does she grow so quickly?
And then Eric Jackson says, I want George Washington to come to Murtaugh's rescue. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Thanks for always being part of the chat.
Thank you. Let's go ahead into Claire. We're going kind of fast, but also just because most of the story is with Brianna, so I'm just kind of like chucking through. But Claire, Jamie, and Fraser. No, Ian. They're all Frasers. My bad. yes. They didn't have a ton to do. We did get a sex scene. But I feel like they only have sex when they're camping nowadays. Like, what's up with that? Like,
don't you love the makeup sex, though?
Yeah, it's also kind of like the same sex from episode one. I'm just saying.
What, like, it wasn't fiery enough for you?
Sex.
You know what? You know what I really love the most.
She wants
though?
To go back to season one.
Season two, maybe.
Season two. Okay.
It wasn't even like about the sex for me. It was the fact that they were having this very like intimate, like kind conversation with each other, and just, you know, Jamie just looked especially vulnerable.
Vulnerable, yes,
and
he did.
The fact that Claire, like, he was even admitting, like, you know, he kept bringing up Frank, and I loved that they were talking about this, and I love the fact that Claire was like, no, believe me, Brianna is just like you. She's saying things out of anger she doesn't mean, just like you do, Jamie.
Yeah.
And I know people say that Claire and Brianna are, like, so similar. They're both headstrong. I see Brianna and Jamie as being, like, twins.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how... That's my perspective of it, is that
they're
like...
They are both stubborn-ish.
And that's why when they fight, it's, like, very volatile, because they're the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all volatile. It's a volatile family.
Claire like, too, but, like, especially, there's just a way about Brianna, especially when we saw her alone with Claire back in, you know, I think the, you know, season two.
Yeah.
And season three. I could just see, it seemed like she is a lot like Jamie. That's just how I take it.
Yeah.
Did you see how they positioned the camera while Jamie and Claire were talking? How she had, like, the power.
Yeah.
So she was standing over him, and he was down, and he was kind of, like, leaning up. And it just, I don't know, it just made me, like, feel like, okay, she has the power now. Because I always feel like Jamie has so much power.
Yeah.
When you, like, look at how they play the cameras.
Yeah.
And so it was refreshing to see her... like played up on this episode.
Yeah.
I think it's nice. They have an older relationship at this point. Like it's very clear in terms of how they interact with each other, in terms of how they deal with things. And especially with Claire, Claire isn't nearly as fiery as she used to be. She's a lot more controlled about when she wants to approach a subject.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to also have her.
She's more tactful now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to be really open about the fact that, yeah, I never thought that anyone would take the place of you in terms of, and like a level of importance, or in terms of me keeping secrets. But Brianna does do that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
For Jamie to be like, yeah, you're right. No,
unapologetically.
That's a part of that relationship.
This was her child. Yeah. And it's their child too.
Exactly.
So it's not even like, I mean, I could get, I could understand it if it wasn't even. If it was someone else's child, and maybe he would feel a certain way, just because I'm sure that's a part of any relationship when there's, you know, someone else's child is involved, but it's their child, and he was very understanding about how, like, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are going off in this chat about how pregnant Brianna is. Like, how
we're
much time has
there.
Really passed.
We gotta talk about them discovering the body with... Anne, we're getting there.
Rolo for the win.
But,
speaking of the body.
Right? But to clarify that, it's been a minute. It has been. So, because she was already about a month and a half.
Yeah.
Or a month.
I think it's,
when she told Claire, like, that she thought she might be pregnant.
And then the guy was found. Well, that only makes it another month, so like 2 months. Because the guy had been there for a month dead.
I thought she said when she told Claire it was about 2 months.
That she was 2 months pregnant?
That it had,
maybe, you might be right.
Yeah, I
so
think so.
I thought it was a month and a half maybe, but if it's been 2 months.
Even 3 months, you're not showing the way she was showing.
Well, you show at four, though. Yeah.
But I've had two kids and I wasn't showing like that.
She looked like, when we saw just the nightgown, I thought we had jumped time. Because it was like, I know this is really jumping into Brianna here, but when we saw her in the dress, and then the next day, I thought it was the next day, but it was really just during the night.
Right.
We saw her in the nightgown. I thought we had jumped, like, you know, 2 or 3 months. Now, I've never been pregnant, so I don't know, but, like, I guessed we had jumped 2 to 3 months, because when we saw Claire pregnant with Brianna, toward the end, she looked like she was about as pregnant as Brianna was.
And
in
she's
the
not bloated
saw.
At all.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, if it was 2 months from when Brianna told her, like, yeah, they're kind of messing things up, and we can talk about that a little bit during the special segment, but if she was 2 months pregnant when...
She told Claire.
And then that guy's been dead for a month.
1 month.
Can I say something really fast?
Mm-hmm. How this... was he already like skeleton
so,
at that point?
Okay, so shout out to Eric Jackson. You are a pretty funny person. There have been two comments for him that have made me laugh. This one, Eric Jackson. So if Roger gets accepted into the tribe, do you think he might pull a Jackie Chan and wake up married one day?
I don't get the reference.
I would take it more as a Star Trek reference, but I think that there's a movie with Jackie Chan where that happens too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a Star Trek episode just like that too.
Oh, okay.
With William Shatner.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's been 2 months.
Sorry.
It's okay. 2 months since then, and then a month since that guy has died, but Roger didn't come to find her or wasn't able to get back to her until she was about 2 months pregnant already. So that's 3 months.
Yeah.
And they have another month. They're a month behind him at this point. It's messed up. The timing of things are not
the way her belly looks
correct.
Is definitely
she
at
looks
a
about six.
Six.
Yeah.
At a 6 month mark.
Mm-hmm. Shanghai Noon.
If not more.
Oh, okay.
Depends on if you're carrying a girl or a boy. That's a 6 months for a boy.
Yeah. Well, let's just go into to Brianna.
Yeah.
There was a body that was found by Rollo. It was the dude from when Roger was originally taken by the Mohawk, and he died. Well, with enough sun, you can basically, because it wasn't like he was completely bones. Mm-hmm. It was like his skin had dried onto his bones. So
yeah.
I guess I didn't look at his arms. I just looked at his face. And I'm like, this is a full skeleton here. Mm-hmm. And his femur was already...
Yeah, exposed.
Yeah.
So with Brianna, when did you know that Jocasta was setting her up? Because I knew pretty much before it even happened.
I knew it the moment...
Like, during the conversation where she's like, my grandmother, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So when she came down the stairs and, like, the way she presented her niece and everyone turned to look, I was like, oh, set up. Like, that's when I realized, okay, Auntie Jocasta.
She did a weird look at the end of their conversation.
You tried it.
With the grandmother, about the grandmother, and I was like, she's setting
onto
her
something.
Up.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. I knew the second there was mention of a party, and I pretty much knew the moment that she was having this conversation with Jocasta about, the grandmother and everything. I just could feel it, and I could feel that obviously even if, I could just feel that the fact that Brianna was pregnant was going to get Aunt Jocasta to do this. Especially because she's a woman who wants to be seen a certain way in society.
She's proper. Yeah.
Yeah. And they even mentioned at the end when they were doing, when they had the director and producer talk, they even mentioned that she's a woman who she's had issues with Claire. So she's not taking too fondly. She's not taking especially fondly to, well,
Brianna.
She isn't taking fondly to Brie.
Well, also, Jamie.
She's been super nice to Brie.
She's been family to Brie, but she's not considering Brie. And also that Jamie has rejected her offer to run River Run. So it's kind of like, Jocasta is like that auntie that's always really nice to your face, but then behind your back is like, she could afford to lose like 10 pounds. Maybe.
Yeah.
Is she ever going to get married? Should we be concerned? She's that kind of aunt.
Yeah.
But it's all done out of love.
Sure.
Love to make herself
look good. Whenever you have that aunt that's like saying little stuff, little digs, it's only because, they really love you and they want the best. They just don't know how to express that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You're not buying it. Are you guys buying it? I am. You're not buying it?
I'm not a Jocasta fan.
I'm not a Jocasta
fan. I like her.
I think she's a type of person that would, it's more important, the optics are more important than actual family.
Yeah.
Like, she will do her best by family, but if push comes to shove, like, if push came to shove when Claire was trying to take care of the slave that had been beaten, I could see her maybe not throwing Jamie under the bus, but throwing Claire under the bus, being like, we'll take her too. So that's what I mean. Like, it's family until it's not. But we do get a surprise appearance by a hobbit, Billy Boyd, playing Mr. Forbes, or was it Lord Forbes? Or
Lord?
Mayor Forbes? Something.
Just Forbes.
Forbes.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
He's... He's older now.
Can I just say that the colonial pickup line, or yeah, colonial pickup lines were very amusing to me.
Yeah.
The way they were trying to pick her up, it was like, oh, so that's how they did it back then.
It was gross. All of that. Yeah. Everything about the dinner, the introduction, all of that was absolutely disgusting to me.
The jewels.
It was so forced. It just made me just clench my butt cheeks. Yeah. I was just like, this is too awkward. I can't.
I wrote down this one line. Must I close my eyes when I'm before you? Yes.
And I appreciated that so much. And she was just like, yes, you must. Ugh. Yeah. And they're all like at least 40 years older than her. And it was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
And that's the really creepy one.
The other one, yes.
I can't remember his name. The one who...
Let's just call him Wig. Because that's all I can remember.
The one who was there previously when they were talking about selling the land with Jamie.
The older guy. Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to think of his name.
If anyone in the chat knows, please let us know. But... Oh, what was he even doing there? I was like, what are you even doing here? Like, because...
He wants himself a bride.
Now, here's the question. So I get that she brought people that she thought would make her family look good because these are people with names. Because
they had money.
Yeah. Couldn't she have, I mean, I guess this is 1700s thinking, but couldn't she have gotten someone like at least a little bit closer to Brianna's age or like a son of one of these people?
Or halfway attractive?
I guess it was Lord Grey. I guess it was but John.
He didn't come there for her.
He didn't come here for
Jamie asked him.
Jamie did ask him to check in on Brianna, but I think... Joe Costa had a say in him coming during that particular evening. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think he would have came regardless.
I think it was going to come regardless. But I think him coming that night, that was still an invitation for him to come that night. Mm-hmm. So he was probably the most handsome and closest in age contender. But he's still...
Much older.
Older.
And like, they don't show him aging the same way, I think. At least not yet.
He's not. Yeah. I'm like, why does Claire exactly get to have all the gray and John is still looking at best 35?
I guess they're making his wig thinner because I was looking at it, I was like, why does it look like his hair is thinner on his head? So maybe they're receding it. John is younger than both Claire and Jamie,
though.
But
that's a lace front, right?
It's a full wig. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's a full, well,
like a lace front.
It's like a half, it's like a half wig.
Okay. Because
he has pretty short hair now.
Come on, partials. Yeah.
But with John was younger than Jamie, 15 years ago. So he's still younger than them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just, I didn't realize how old Billy Boyd had gotten. Billy Boyd's 50. And I haven't seen him really since Lord of the Rings. So I was like, oh, you are old now. Like, not like, oh, you're an old man, but he looked like a child in Lord of the Rings. So it was weird to see him like that.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you guys feel about the threat of extortion versus the threat of rape?
You're talking about with John.
The reference with John and Bree.
So it kind of, and I love how in the same episode, Claire pointed out that Brianna says things she doesn't mean when she's either angry or maybe like under pressure. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that Brianna was trying to blackmail him, but I thought
it was really tacky.
Yeah, but what are you doing? I agree with that, but I think that she feels like she's desperate. In a very bad place, and I think she's just trying to survive because she doesn't want to marry those other guys.
No, and I think that was a big fear, is that she was going to have to, at the moment she walked into that room with Forbes and Jocasta, she was going to have to marry that guy.
Well, you know, you can get more with honey than you can with lemon.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why?
I'm not saying I agreed with what she did. and do it in that
manner. Like, come on with the finesse.
Yeah.
She's not a finesser, though.
He may have, like...
That's not in her to finesse anyone.
Well, he even said, Lord John even said in the beginning, while I'm half tempted to say yes... I think that it was actually very off-putting the way that she went about it. So I think he may have agreed without her having to do. Exactly. Yeah. But
I think if she had come from a place of vulnerability, which she did at the end, he might have said yes much sooner.
Yeah.
But she tried to stronghold him, and she was making an assumption that Jamie wouldn't know. That John was gay and that Claire wouldn't know that John was gay.
What makes you think he doesn't know?
Mm-hmm. And that also she was making an assumption that he was not into women at all. And he corrected her like, no.
Get your life. I can I have was sex just with married. Women. She just died.
Yeah. And she was like, well, I thought that was more of an, you know, like an arrangement. That's what I thought, and he's like, no. It was not an arrangement. So I was like, okay.
We have two comments in the chat. The first one is Alexis Dash says, and Lord John is 36. He's 9 years younger than Jamie. Portia D does says, she ain't got no finesse. No. I wanted to read that.
She's never had any finesse.
Not a finessing bone in her body.
So kudos to John Gray for coming back and rescuing this poor finesseless child, because
I feel like that's his role. Left her. That is his role.
It is his role to save the Frasers.
Yeah,
that's like what he does,
and that really says a lot about his character too. That he would, you know, be like, I can't let her walk in and marry that person.
Yeah. It's a very paternal. Like he has father instincts going on, which is probably why he didn't want to marry her, because he's like, this is weird.
Yeah, and he's also, because
in a perfect world, he would be the stepdaddy.
Well, and the son.
That's what I say. Technically, he is the father to her brother.
Which, so if she marries him.
Oh, that part.
If she marries him, this little boy will not only be her half-brother,
but her
also,
stepson.
Yeah, stepson. She'll be the stepmother to her brother.
Yeah.
They are
just nasty. You're just nasty.
Okay. Like, if this were in the 60s and 70s, that would be like a big no-no. I'm like, I mean, would it? It would be.
At least, yeah.
Kinda. You know.
Kind of. I mean,
it would be like, it would be something that people didn't talk about.
Yeah. Well, what about the whole Anne and Bree thing? Marrying your cousin is kind of what's in,
well,
right?
Yeah, but back then it was like, that happened all the time. So it wasn't weird.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it was permissible. So maybe this isn't as gross as we think it is.
Well, they don't know.
Well,
either.
They also don't know. I think if it were found out, I mean, she does know.
Oh, right. Bree doesn't know that William is her brother.
She doesn't.
She knows. Well, no. She knows that it's not. Yeah, you're right. She only knows that it's not his actual son.
She doesn't know.
His biological son.
Right.
Yeah. So that'll probably be why they won't go through with it.
Yeah.
She'd be like, that's my brother? No.
I'm waiting for her to meet the little boy, to meet him, and to basically.
And to see.
William.
Jamie. Mm-hmm.
And to see herself, or to see Jamie, and to be like, oh.
Yeah.
This marriage can't happen.
But I mean, overall, I really liked the episode. I felt like it got the job done. Like it moved the story along, so we can get to these last two episodes to really kind of put everything together.
I know, the final two episodes.
So before we do the special segment, because a lot of people they're like, I don't want to hear nothing from the book, and I get it. Let's go ahead into predictions, and then we'll do the special segment. So,
AfterBuzz TV prediction.
No, we changed it up a little bit.
Right?
No more Halloween spookiness going on.
I think we just got the abbreviated version. I think we have the long version as well.
Is that how y'all doing us?
Who wants to start?
Go ahead, Rach.
All right. So, I think that somehow Bonnet is going to escape again. That's my guess. And then I'm kind of taking this from the previews too, but we saw Brianna walking down a long hallway that almost looked like the hallway of a cell, and they were talking about forgiveness in that letter. Mm-hmm. So I almost think that she goes to visit Bonnet first to like give him a piece of her mind or like just something. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, that's kind of what I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And then also, this is kind of going off what they're saying in the chat about Roger. A lot of people are thinking that maybe he's going to end up wanting to stay with the Mohawks and, like, fall in love with someone there. Mm. I don't know that I think he's going to fall in love with anyone there, but I think that he's just going to be a very different person, and that it's going to be very hard for Brianna and him to reconnect when they do, because
their lives will be so different.
Yeah. Especially him, because Brianna, like, she has been through trauma. She is processing all of these awful things. Mm-hmm. Roger, the way that he's like externally showing this, he just seems like he's very different, and that he might not be able to handle the things happening to him when he's in a safer place processing.
Good stuff. I really think that at this point, I think love wins. I think that Bree and Roger will reunite and live happily ever after. And whatever realm,
season 5.
Right. In whatever realm they decide to stay in. I would actually look forward to them having the baby in their present day. Mm. Like, yeah. I want the baby to go back to present day and her having a proper, like, labor and delivery experience. That would be nice. But, let's see. Yeah, as far as Murtaugh and Bonnet goes, I think there will be a hoedown showdown in the jail cell.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm ready for it. Let's go.
I think they're going to kill Murtaugh.
No, don't say that.
I know.
I think I agree with you.
Wait a minute. Are you reading? Like,
Murtaugh?
Is this book talk? Or?
No.
Okay.
Murtaugh is not in the books at this point. So,
that's right. Yeah. He was the bonus.
Yeah, he's the bonus.
In
but
the show.
I think that to kind of rock the boat, as happy as I am to see Jamie and Claire just living their life in this cabin, I think they're going to want to give, like, Jamie and Fergus a reason to get back into the rebellion game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so having Murtaugh die would be the way to do that.
Yes.
And I think they're going to probably bring George Washington back in just for funsies. so why not
awesome?
Have it? That kind of be the reason that they're kind of like helping set the foundation for the American Revolution. And this is not book talk. This is just me just guessing off the top of my head. And I think at this point, with as pregnant as Brianna looks, she's not going to make it through those stones before she has the baby. So
yeah,
I'm curious to see how that's going to go. I'm curious to see if she's going to marry John Grey. And that's what I got.
Honestly, this is more of a prediction for the future, but mm-hmm. I just want to see them all go back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to yeah. see that.
Even Jamie, right?
Yeah.
Especially Jamie.
But he can't hear it, so he can't go through the stones.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Maybe they can find a thing that where he can hear it.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. If it's
and,
like, it's not necessarily,
maybe,
you know.
When he goes, like, maybe Roger will tell them where mm-hmm. he found the stones, and mm-hmm. maybe Jamie will hear this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up predictions. Let's go into book to screen. So, I don't have my notes with me, so I'm doing this off the top of my head, y'all. So be patient. But in the books, Brianna does try to blackmail John, but they also have a longer relationship, which kind of accounts for why we think things have been rushed or we can't tell what the time is. In the books, she's been at River Run for a while. She's known John for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a constant thing of Jocasta bringing in suitors to try and get her to marry a different man because she just doesn't know Roger. And the reason why Jocasta wants Brianna to marry in the books is because Jocasta wants to leave River Run to Brianna. And so it's like just a way for her to do what she wants to do with Jamie, with Brianna. So if she can get her married, then she'll have a man that can run everything. And she still kind of gets what she wants.
Yeah.
But at that point, John Grey and Brianna have a longer relationship, which kind of gives you an understanding of why she feels comfortable asking him to marry her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She also never sees him having sex. That's not a part of the book. Artis, it is alluded that Artis, I think that's how you pronounce his name, or Erdis, the man that he has sex with, is gay in the books, but they don't outright, you know, show anything. It's just that John kind of alludes to the fact that he may not be interested in women. And it's more of that she starts to put things together in terms of how he talks about his father and like what her mother told her about John Grey. So there's just a little bit more depth to that storyline and also the storyline of Jocasta. And then I'll say this in the books, Roger. No, I feel like I'm jumping. If I talk about what happens with Roger and the Mohawks.
Mm-mm.
So I don't want to jump ahead.
Don't do it.
Because we don't know what they've done yet.
Let
but
me tell you what Kamara says
in
the live chat.
Okay.
She said, ain't nobody got time for Roger making a home with the Mohawks.
No.
So funny.
I'll say that doesn't happen.
That is
That's
crazy.
What I can say.
Okay.
Is that no, he's not going to pull a Dances with Wolves type of thing and go run off with the Mohawks. But
that's so good to hear.
Yeah, he's not going to do that.
It doesn't even feel right.
Yeah. And then... There's just a few things that are traced a little bit differently that we could talk about, but that'll be a whole other length of the show. But in terms of what's happened in this particular episode, that was the biggest change that I noticed from the book, is that John and Brianna have a longer relationship that's kind of nourished over time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Versus them only knowing each other for like a day and then being like, marry everything me, I know you're gay.
Not even a day. She met him like at that night at the party.
Yeah, and that morning they're married. Like, what? Like, that was also just something that was like completely insane to me, is that you're supposed to know this man for a night and then he proposes to you. Like, he's like decided on that. It seemed unnatural for even that time.
Yeah.
And it would have made more sense, like, as if they did in the books, where there were suitors that were coming by and constantly trying to get to know her, and or just like, just more to it. Like, I get arranged marriages tend to be quick, but even arranged marriages aren't that quick. You know what I mean?
But it's too deceptive how she's bringing in the suitors. They don't know she's pregnant. So
that's the other thing.
It's so deceptive, because what if word gets out, they renege on the proposal or the engagement, and then her name is slain anyway.
It would make more sense if she were under 4 months. In terms of, people did historically used to do that, where they were pregnant and under 4 months, getting a suitor, then passing it off as that person's son.
Because here's the problem. If she, not John Gray, but if she were to marry any other man, and they expected her to go to bed with him, he would know as soon as he saw her.
Yeah.
At this point, like, when we saw her with the nightgown, there's no way that someone is not going to know.
She's like, I'm just a little full right now.
Yeah, like,
you know?
P.S.
I don't even know about, because it's just a weird concept, being pregnant and then some other man climbing up in that.
But then, even if she didn't, if she didn't go to bed with a man like that she married, the man would know that it wasn't his baby. So, but I mean, he would know either way, because she's already looks really pregnant.
Yeah, she would really have to find a man that would be comfortable with that. Because even when that came down to with Jamie's son William, when he knew it wasn't his son, he was ready to kill both of them. You know what I mean? So,
and I think they said
not Jamie, but the husband.
I'm sure that there was some, like, you know, I'm sure that whoever she married, not only could they try to kill her, but they could probably do something legally to her back then for being pregnant with someone else's man or someone else's child, not man.
Right.
It doesn't. I think because they're rushing it a little bit in the show, those timelines don't make as much sense.
Yeah.
And I think they could have afforded to slow it down a bit. But yeah. But that's what we got.
Now with two more shows left for the season.
I know. They're like, we got to keep it moving. We do a book, a season, nothing more, nothing less. I'm like, okay. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. You can also possibly catch me on the Magicians After Show when it starts in about 2 weeks. And where can I follow you both?
Hey, guys. You can find me on Instagram at AngelTaylor_.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Rach Goodman. I'm also a part of the Young and the Restless AfterBuzz recap show, so you can catch me there on Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next Sunday.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.